This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Hoping you're having a great week. I have to tell you, being in Ireland, it kind of discombobulates you in one way because of the eye candy that you're looking at, like the amazing castles and ruins and rocks everywhere that I've talked about, the limestone that I really want to bring to you so that I can help you fill your heart with Ireland. I feel good about that. And then I look backwards in time and look at what is happening back in the United States, and I always say that I'm the voice of common sense because I feel that. I feel that we can have the conversation, whether you're right or left of left, or you know, you don't believe in any labels and you just want to have an opinion, you just want to see the United States thrive. And so here I am in Ireland, and the big headline, speaking of thriving and trying to survive, Mark Zuckerberg looking not like Mark Zuckerberg in a really, really sweet suit with a tie. At first I didn't recognize him, and somebody shoved the paper into my hand and said, the Irish Times, and said, aren't you an American? Yes. And I looked at the headline, and the headline in the Irish Times was Facebook's Zuckerberg backs tighter regulation. And what the Facebook founder is talking about is he's reiterating to people in Ireland, because of course he's got interests here in Ireland, people working for Facebook here, and he reiterated his call for regulation of the internet in a bid to deal with harmful content online. And I chuckle because of everything that, of course, has happened with Facebook and how they've come under fire. And of course, so much of that has to do with what ads were targeting on Facebook, etc. So Zuckerberg was speaking as he visited Facebook's European headquarters in Dublin's Silicon Docks, is what they actually call it. And he had meetings with Irish politicians on fake news, the regulation of social media, transparency in political advertising, and protections for young people and vulnerable adults as well. So he's revisiting some territory, the arguments that he outlined in an op-ed published piece in a bunch of newspapers globally, as we know in the United States, about the level of control private companies have or had over online speech. And then he went on to praise Europe's introduction of the GDPR, which tightened up rules regulating data privacy. So he said, this is one of the things he was quoted on throughout the day. He says, I think it's a good foundation that encodes a lot of important values around people being able to choose how their data is used, and at the same time making sure that companies have the ability to use information for safety purposes. And you know, it's interesting because, of course, Ireland likes Facebook and the jobs and having Zuckerberg as part of what's going on in Ireland, but it's a different approach when it comes to the European Parliament and what's happening there and what they're talking about when it comes to internet privacy. All right, something else going on at home, and then we're definitely going to give you a smattering of what I'm seeing in Ireland. And I'm going to remind you this because you should put it on your bucket list. Go to Ireland.com. I'm serious. It should be on everyone's bucket list. This is the second time I've been to Ireland, and every single time it blows my mind. And, of course, I'm going over territory, places that I have not seen before. All right, so one of the things that happened on the day in the Hill is we've got this constant back and forth about healthcare, and the 8 Republicans decided to stand with Democrats to condemn Donald Trump opening up that can of worms on healthcare strategy, and the president vowed to make healthcare a top 2020 campaign issue. We talked about that the other day. He said on Tuesday that the campaign arm of the House Republicans said this to them, that the party would get clobbered if they didn't do something about the Affordable Care Act, if they didn't take care of Obamacare and ditch it, dump it. So what you have is these Republicans, I think, who are running for the hills because they don't want to touch that the health care situation. They don't want to try to come up with something that's gonna change what their constituents think. And even House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, this is like red meat, throwing red meat to her. She said, once again, House Republicans have shown that they are full accomplices in President Trump's campaign to destroy protections for people with pre-existing conditions and take away Americans' health care. And see, this is an easy pounce. So you have Congressman Greg Walden. There's some of you listening to us in Oregon, a Republican from Oregon, who said, it's like every week there has to be a resolution on the floor to condemn the president. Something he said or did, not a policy proposal that will actually solve the nation's problems. Now, you know what? I agree with him. When do we solve the nation's problems? This is the same old sad tune, however, that we've been singing over and over and over, you know, again. And this really could come back to bite the Republicans, and they know it. And I think that's why the Republicans who are running and who do not have a solution and who may agree on affordable health care is not affordable or needs to go or et cetera or whatever, but that is like sticking a knife in the heart of some of their campaigns. There is no question, you know, about that. Okay, so something else that I wanted to jump to really, really quick is that this, staying on the Hill, that Mitch McConnell basically is saying, let's blow up the Senate rule to speed up the Trump nominees. So what does that mean? We see that there's these positions, and on the show I talk about it once in a while, you know, talk about vacancies. So McConnell employed the nuclear option to give some of the president's nominees a speedier confirmation. The procedural step is an escalation in, of course, all the partisan tensions that are flying around like goblins on Halloween. And the third time in 6 years, the Senate's majority has eliminated the long-held filibuster rules requiring a 60-vote threshold in favor of a simple majority vote. So 47 Democrats, joined by Republican Senators Susan Collins from Maine, Mike Lee from Utah, oppose cutting the time between ending debate and a final confirmation vote from 30 hours to 2. So the change will break a blockade on dozens of lower level, for example, judicial and sub-cabinet nominees that you just forget about because you're thinking of the bigger stuff. I like how I say, use that word liberally, stuff. You know, bigger positions, in other words. All right, coming up, we've got the mailbag, and then I'm going to introduce you to a woman whose job is to be the head gardener at an incredible place called Kylemore Abbey. Easy for me to say, but really, it's incredible. It was this Victorian walled garden that the Benedictine nuns now have to take care of, they own. And what was at this estate and what's going on at this estate, I mean, frankly, is absolutely mind-blowing. And thousands of people make the trek to see it, and I'm proud to say that I had a chance to see up close and personal what's happening there and on the grounds of those gardens. Absolutely incredible. Hang through. Mailbag coming up on the flip side.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
All right, we're getting ready to jump to the mailbag, but first I want to tell you where I am. Kate Delaney, I'm at the Renville House and Resort. It's where Yeats used to come and write some of his poetry. There are some amazing grounds here, including, if I look out of my room, I can see these. It's a castle, and you can see big chunks of the castle are still left, and it's where a pirate used to, a female pirate, I'm going to talk about that in an upcoming show, a female pirate who's pretty darn famous used to go out to sea, and that was her castle, and you can actually see it from where I am in the grounds, and it is the furthest point west in Ireland, where there's just a couple of islands in between where I am that separate us, of course, thousands of miles from New York. But that would be the next piece of land, identifiable land after that, which is crazy to wrap my mind around that. All right, so let's jump into the mailbag. And this one is from Hal. Hey, Kate, I'm listening to you talk about Ireland, and I was there once a long time ago as a kid. And after I'm hearing some of your stories, it makes me really want to go. I can't wait to see your pictures when you start to post more of them. I really want to see those castles. I can't wrap my brain around the fact that Ireland, as you said, is 50% limestone. Yeah, that's what one of the cool things, one of the many cool things about Ireland, for lack of a better way to say it, is, I mean, it is really just strolling through the hills, the walks, and the walks along the Atlantic Wild Way are really, truly spectacular. I mean, they're just spectacular. You see these rocks and the way they're placed and the thought that goes into it, and you think of things like Churchill used to do that. That's what he did for fun to relax. Besides painting, he used to do the kind of rock work that you see being done in some of the many places that I've been in Ireland. And I have to tell you, this Connemara County where Kylemore Abbey is, and the Victorian walled garden in Galway is just, it's almost, it takes your breath away. It really is. It's undescribable is the best way to say it. It really is undescribable what Mitchell Henry did with that abbey and those gardens. And you're going to hear that story coming up in my conversation with the head gardener. But yes, that's just one of the many spectacular things. And I mean, seriously, I say it again, go to Ireland.com, check it out. You want a break? You want some headspace? You want to see some mind-blowing sights and hear some incredible stories? Save your pennies and come to Ireland, and there certainly is some great deals to be had, and they love, love, love Americans. All right, let's move on to another one. This one is from Rachel. Rachel says, Kate, I am frustrated about healthcare. I agree with you. Healthcare is not really good for very many people unless you work for a very big company or you're filthy rich, because even if you have to pay some outrageous price, you could afford to pay the outrageous price. I feel like we're mixed in a let's make a deal gamble with our doctors and the people who treat us over what kind of health care we're getting anyway. So it's like you think about doctors and the fact that they're practicing medicine. Can anyone afford doctors to make mistakes and then you have to go back and have things corrected? It is very scary times, my friend. Well, I concur. I can't add much to that. And here's what I don't like. I feel like a pawn in the game when it comes to immigration and when it comes to healthcare. And because certainly from my perspective, I really have investigated this. I've really looked into it and taken the magic eight ball, so to speak, and turned it upside down. And there aren't good answers. Are there people out there who have some great suggestions? They're not being heard. They would need to collaborate with others, but there's not really great collaboration. And there's some people that are listening to me that are probably cringing and saying that there are people that are trying to do something. There are syndicates, and there are people who have pooled money. In fact, one of the things that's happening is associations, and I'm a member of the speaking association, associations and religious groups with enough people are starting to form their own type of insurance because they realize they have the numbers. And it's a great value to somebody. It's a great value to a lot of people, frankly. And when you think of the world and you think of more entrepreneurism, less people getting on the treadmill working for companies where they have this incredible coverage, which you could argue that the coverage isn't what it was. I can remember a job, and I'm sure many of you, think about this while you're listening to me. How many of you applied for a job, I don't care when you got right out of school, if you didn't go to school and went right to work, and you heard about the bennies, the benefits, oh, the bennies, and it always was about healthcare, right? We have healthcare, we have a dentist, we have a 401k, we have matching contributions, whatever it is. The main thing they were trying to sell you, frankly, part of it was the benefits, because then they would subtract some of the salary, let's say, by offering the benefits. Now, it's such a different world, and there's so many more people that are juggling 2 and 3 gigs to keep up with what healthcare is and other concerns and costs. But healthcare is one of the big ones. If something happens, you know, I have a friend who's pretty successful, actually, at what he does, but he has a very big family, and he and his wife don't have health care because he says basically it's like you might as well have catastrophic health insurance because that's what it's like. So why do I need health insurance? It's not going to do anything for me. So they go without health insurance, don't think about it, and pray that nothing huge happens. And that it can be scary. I mean, it's one thing to have to reach for thousands of dollars and another thing to get socked for $1 million. And we've heard some of the horror stories, sadly. All right, let's move on to another one. I'm not going to be able to solve this overnight. And, of course, we're going to bring you more points of view and more people and more doctors. And some people have seen some incredible ways that have worked. And most of it has to do with enough people and shopping around and really implementing it and making it happen. Let's go to this one. This one is from Tyson. Kate, I've never emailed the show. I listen to the show all the time. I heard you talking about Tahibo Tree, and I'm sorry about your mom and the fact that you lost her and that the tree, whether it would have helped her or not, the Tea Tree Club, it would have been something, I guess, you could have tried. And the fact that the founder talks about it helping his dad, and you truly believe what he has been able to concoct. I say anytime you've got some sort of cancer or something else, and you have to throw a natural remedy at it, and it's one that's worked for a lot of people, why not try it? Touche. And I've talked about the tea. So here I am in Ireland, and of course I have jet lag, and I'm just readjusting to it, and it's really tough when you're running around boo-hoo-hoo, right? But I'm great. I feel really, really good, and I'm going to attribute some of that to worrying about my voice. And with the weather conditions being pelted by the wind and the rain in between when it was sunny in Ireland, but taking the tea, I use that as a method of protecting myself from getting some wicked cold, picking something up from being dog tired or from somebody on the plane. And what I do like is I like the stories of people who have had success with it, and I like the idea of alternatives to pumping ourselves full of drugs that often can be worse than the cancer. And those people who also don't have much to hang on to, why not try it? I mean, why not? So I agree with that wholeheartedly, yes. And I'd rather see a natural remedy to something than to go with something artificial. For me, personally, in my own life, absolutely. And you know, even with my mom, I was trying to get her to take different kinds of supplements. And, of course, it was so late in the game for her. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like losing someone close to you to realize, if you don't already realize, the preciousness of life. I mean, those are last conversations. It's the end, and it's really something. It really kicks you in the rear end. It really does. All right, a big reminder to everyone before we run out of time. Mailbag. You have thoughts on the show? Lots of you download the show, listen to me at different times of day. Woohoo! So if you're running, you're listening, and you want to email me and you have questions about anything, do it. Go to katedelaneyradio.com. katedelaneyradio.com. Coming up next, we're taking you to the Kyle Moore Abbey and the Victorian Walled Grounds. So stay with us.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
US USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Former Vice President Joe Biden is on damage control ahead of an expected run for the presidency on mounting allegations that he's touched women inappropriately. There was no apologies and also no specific responses to the recent allegations, but Biden does acknowledge that social norms have changed when it comes to personal space. In his video, Biden says, yes, he has touched people.
I shake hands, I hug people, I grab men and women by the shoulder.
But Biden says that was to create what he calls a human connection. He does say he understands actions like this have made some people uncomfortable. He adds, I will be more mindful and respectful. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 39 points, the NASDAQ up 46, and the S&P 500 up 6. This is USA Radio News.
Pros know doing it right means getting more bang for your buck, because putting more toward your bottom line is good for business. Lowe's does it right with savings on the brands you trust during our Stock the Shop event, like DeWalt, Irwin, Bostitch, and more. Now save $50 on a DeWalt 20-volt max two-tool combo kit, including a drill, impact driver, charger, and two batteries for just $179. Find even more great deals during our Spring Black Friday sale going on now. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 4/7. See store for details. U.S. only.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole?
Wow, you won't believe where I am right now. The Kyle Moore Abbey and the gardens are absolutely mind-blowing in Connemara. And I'm here with the head gardener, and I'm going to say her name correctly, Anya. I knew I'd get it. Now, I spent a little time in Germany, but the words I learned I can't really use on the air. We'll talk about that another time. That's right, the good words. Tell us about what's happening here, first of all, with the renovations, and then we'll dive back into the history.
So at the moment, we restore the Abbey. That's a big project funded. We got a grant from Forge Island, you know, to do up more rooms in the Abbey, mainly on the grounds floor. So that will be reopened in the next couple of weeks. So there's a lot of construction work going on. And in the gardens, we reopened the gardens in 2000 after a long, not a long period, but 4-year period of restoration, which started in 1995. So for this restoration, we got a grant from the EU as well. And we were able to open the garden again in 2000 to the public. Yeah.
All right, so if we reverse engineer this, talk about what this meant to have this developed in the first place and the rich history of Mitchell and what he was able to do here.
So Mitchell Henry created probably one of nowadays the top gardens in Ireland, or one of the top places in Ireland. And his former estate consisted of over 13,000 acres. It is, it was scaled down to 1,000 acres nowadays. But he had just a vision to build this huge, big walled garden, which is nearly double in size to a normal walled garden. So it's 6 acres in total, or 24,000 square meters, if we are more talking, like on the continent. But and then he had the vision to build these 21 glasshouses in this garden, elevated on top of the garden. So he was able to grow all these tropical fruits and plants collected from every corner in the world, which was very typical in Victorian times, back, 130, 140 years ago. Few of the plants are actually still alive, and they're growing in the garden. They are one of the oldest trees from this species left in Ireland, few of them. So, for example, the cordyline, the cabbage tree, which is originally from New Zealand. So they went over there, got these plants. A lot of trading between botanic gardens was happening back then as well. We have one record that we traded, I think, a pampas grass from the botanic garden in Dublin, for example. So it's a lot of connection between the head gardeners back then as well. It was one little kind of community, let's say.
And you talk about those tropical plants, etc., but we're talking all corners of the world. So there was no expense spared, obviously, in those 21 glass houses that you're talking about.
No, I think money wasn't a problem back then. So alone the cost to repair the glass constantly, they probably had 4 or 5 men constantly working on these glass doors to keep them, to maintain them, to paint them, to rebuild them as much as possible. So each glass house had different requirements, heat requirements, soil requirements to grow all the plants. So there was a lot of knowledge involved as well.
And how many people, I'm trying to paint the picture for the listeners, and you're doing it beautifully, but if we think of 21 glass houses, a poor community, how many people were employed here, and what would they have done, what would they be hired to do?
So when Kaima was built, there were about 500 local people employed. And then when the time went on, as far as we know, they had up to 40 to 50 gardeners employed alone in the gardens. So back then, the vegetable garden was much more cultivated than it is nowadays the case. You had your head gardener, you had assistant gardeners, you had your under gardeners. They were boys only 13, 14 years old, for example, and they lived in the buffet, for example. So they could work their way up slowly until maybe they ended up as a head gardener after 20 years. So it was a long apprenticeship for each gardener back then.
And for the gardeners back then, how many women were involved on that side of it?
As far as we know, the Victorians employed women, and they were called weeding women. So they were on for the nice job, which was weeding, obviously. But otherwise, we don't really have many records about women working, in a garden like this.
And today, so people know, the Benedictine nuns actually own Collymore Abbey, the gardens, etc. And how many women are employed now?
Oh my God, I actually don't know exactly, but at least more than half would be women, yeah, especially in the visitor center. In the garden, we are half-half. I think we have 4 men and 3 women. So that's not a question of, men, women anymore.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah. So.
But it's interesting because when you think of Victorian times, but this would have been the main attraction here. I mean, in this area, and obviously Ireland's beautiful and green and offers so much. But how big was it to have 21 glass houses and these beautiful gardens that were so pristine and that abbey, which was a show house? What was that like in those late 1800s?
Well, I think it was a different world. Like, the local people probably never saw a banana until the 1960s, let's say. So, and 100 years earlier, they were able to grow bananas in these glasshouses. So I think for local people to come or to enter the garden here was a different world. It was like somewhere in a movie nowadays, And So it was, the technology he used was one of the highest standards you could get back then as well. The heating system alone was outstanding. They produced hydroelectric power, for example, 6 years before the local community had electricity. So it was just a completely different world.
And what's so interesting for people that come here, this is just eye candy that you won't believe. And I have an appreciation for gardening. I grew up with a mother who loved gardening and took me to Longwood Gardens, which was the DuPont place in Philadelphia. But nothing like this. And then talking about that era, and you can see some of what I'll call ruins, but evidence of what it used to be like. And one of the things that you showed us was the pipes. Because in talking about the technology, how much piping was here?
So we have a pipe system of cast iron pipes of about 5,000 feet running through all the glass houses, used to run through all the glass houses, and on two different settings. One set was running through the soil to heat up the soil, for example, for banana plants, and the other set was a bit lower and heated up the air through special vents. The heat was produced, which was very clever, through a lime kiln. So there was a big lime kiln, limestone was burned, lime was produced, but also the heat for the glass was produced through special boilers. They were called settle boilers. So, and then the warm water was kind of flowing through the pipes, didn't need to be pumped because the warm water was rising automatically. So the whole system was really, really clever.
And how they designed. And it's funny, talking about design, and you took us through the garden. So for people listening, imagine that these beautiful roses, and it's freezing cold here today in Connemara and where we are. But you talk about that as this is being built and renovated, you want to keep it at Victorian times as far as what's being grown here, etc., and what the gardens are like, right?
Yeah. So during restoration times, one of the guidelines we had was to stick to the old heritage varieties or heirloom varieties. So Queen Victoria died in 1901, so that was our guideline, our cut-off point. So all the plants we grow and propagate in our glasshouse would be based before 1901. So we are one of the only gardens in Ireland sticking to 95% to these old heritage varieties, for example. So starting from all the annual summer and spring bedding, going to perennials, biennials, shrubs, trees, vegetables, they're all the old varieties. So we're playing a big part in keeping these old varieties alive.
Wow. And for you personally, you're the head gardener, how many others work with you, and how many tourists come through now or will be coming through as you get back into the high season and everything completely reopens?
So we are, including myself, we are 7 permanent gardeners. Then we run a student scheme. So they, at the moment we have 4 students from Germany, for example. They do landscape architecture or horticulture sign. So they are staying for a couple of months. And then during the summer season we could have up to 2,000 visitors per day coming through the garden. We are giving every day free guided tours, for example. So that's one of the highlights during the day if you want to know a bit more about the garden. So there is a lot of work. Victorian gardens are one of the main labor intensive and maintenance intensive gardens you could actually work or end up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Last question, we have less than a minute left, but what does it mean to you to be the head gardener and to have been here 17 years and to be up in those ranks?
This is a good question. It was a tough time, I have to say, at the beginning, because my English wasn't very good, and the Connemara English is very different to your normal English, so it took me a while to adapt. But it's a great privilege, to be honest, to be the head gardener here. It wasn't, if you look back 130 years ago, there was no woman, you know, a head gardener. So the previous head gardener was a woman as well. She started the restoration, for example. So for me, it's a big privilege. It is never boring. It's always interesting. You always meet new people. It's a lovely job. I love my job.
Well, thank you very much for spending so much time with us. We appreciate it, and we can't wait to come back and see everything. Next year, I'll be back.
Okay, you're welcome, and good luck.
It's time to start drinking Tahibo tea. Tahibo tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with a story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today, 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Are you a stock or options trader looking for real trading strategies that you can use immediately? Hi, my name is Scott Bauer, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy, and I'm on a mission to become the number one options coach in America. I'm a former vice president at Goldman Sachs. I have over 25 years of options trading experience, and right now, I'm giving away my most famous options guide with over 20 unique options strategies that I use every day for free. You can't buy this guide anywhere. To claim your free options trading guide, simply call 855-844-9702 now and mention my name, Scott Bauer, and we will rush you the guide. Call 855-844-9702 and someone from my options team will help you get this guide in your inbox as quickly as possible. Call 855-844-9702 now and start learning to trade the right way. Simply call 855-844-9702. Prosper with options.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Director for Galway 2020, European Capital of Culture. And boy, that sounds like a mouthful, but it sounds really like it's up my alley. So explain to the listeners what that is.
Yeah, so the European Capital of Culture is a designation that the EU Commission give out every year. They choose a country, so Ireland was chosen back in 2014 to host the European Capital of Culture in 2020. And then there was a competition within Ireland. And so we competed with Limerick, with Dublin, with Three Sisters. And Galway won the designation. Not surprisingly, we would say, but it was great. So in 2020, we are the European Capital of Culture. And what that is a year-long celebration of Galway, Irish, and European culture. And culture to us is anything and everything. So it's music, dance, food, theatre, poetry, literature.
So this is a big deal. We would call it a BDD, a big damn deal.
It is a big damn deal, absolutely. It's a big damn deal and a lot of work. But it's fantastic. We've been working on this now since we got the designation in June 2016. The work has been ongoing to develop this. It's a four-year program to actually develop this.
So how do you do that? When you know you have this high honor, you've been selected, you beat other people out, even they say, yeah, well, we knew you'd probably get it. And you've been working on this since 2016. That's longer than most of our weddings. So in doing that, how do you decide how you're laying out these festivals, etc.?
So as part of the bid phase, so as part of the bid program, you have to bid first. So we have to do a bid book, and that bid book contains lots of different types of culture. And that's kind of the contract with Europe, if you want to lack a better word. So within that, there are parts of the program we have to deliver. So that was our commitment. If you give us a designation, these are the kind of things we will deliver. And that will be 70% of the program in the year. But then on top of that, we're layering that with new activities and bringing in new artists and new performers and new practitioners and new art forms.
And so what are the new art? What would be, like, give us a little glimpse of that. What's a new art form or something different?
Yeah, so I suppose in terms of one of the big things we're going to be doing is kind of outdoor. So we're going to make our program very much outdoor, which is a challenge in the Irish weather. But then again, there's not such a thing as bad weather, it's just bad clothing. So we'll make sure people have the right clothing for it. And so a lot of it will be street theatre, street festival, which is something that Galway has done well, but we're going to take it to another level, and we're going to take it out into the county. As a designation, it's for the city and the county, so it's both. So people who come to Galway tend to come to the city and don't get out into the county. And the idea is to get to encourage them to get out there to see the beautiful landscape that is Galway. Like, our themes are landscape, language, and migration, and we want people to experience all of that when they come to Galway.
So where do you expect the bulk of the people will come from that come here?
So traditionally, based on others' experience, about 50 to 60% will be in the local area, local region, then another 20% will be national from Ireland, and then the other 20% will be international. And certainly, because we've been promoting this abroad, so our big markets for us, in terms of, we know for Ireland, never mind for Ireland culture, is North America, so the US is a big market, but also then the UK, and then within Northern Europe, Germany. Germany's a huge, they're very culturally curious. They travel for the European capital of culture. A lot of Germans will follow that. Wherever it's on, they will go regardless of the destination. So they're our big markets. So we will be doing a launch in North America, we'll be doing a launch in the UK, and we'll be doing a launch in Germany, as well as a launch back here in Galway.
Well, so saying you're doing a launch in America, give me a glimpse of that.
Well, we're working on that, so I don't know what it's going to look like yet, but we'll be working with the Irish Embassy. So the idea will be to bring a taster and a flavour of what the programme will be. But where we are going, and I know where we're going this August, is to the Irish Fest in Milwaukee in Wisconsin. So Galway every year attends the Irish Fest every year, and this year we're going to do a Galway 2020 showcase. So if people come to that or are going to that this year, they'll get a flavour of Galway 2020, because we're bringing over artists, we're bringing over chefs, we're bringing over culture. Everything to do with Galway will be at the centre of that, and it's a full showcase promoting Galway 2020 and telling people about what will be coming. We're launching the actual full programme in September this year, so people keep an eye out on www.galway2020.ie, and you'll see the programme will be launched in September, but we'll be building up to that. So this week we've just launched our Small Towns Big Ideas project, which is communities coming together to do their own cultural activities as part of 2020, and we'll give them seed funding, and that can be anything, so they can be as mad or as cracked or as use their imagination and come up with a project, and we will help them fund it.
Wow. Alright, so last one, your favorite thing about Galway, what do you love about this place and why people should come here?
The landscape. If you go out into Connemara National Park, it's just stunningly beautiful, and it's different to anything else. I've travelled the world, and every time I go back out there, I'm kind of reawakened to everything in you, and it's not to do with Irishness, it's just to do with we are a small dot on this wonderful planet, and that brings us to life when you see the landscape of Connemara. You realise it's been there for millennia and we're passing through, and let's just enjoy it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It was great to meet you. Thanks for joining us. So Galway really will be some place to be in 2020. What a high honor that is. It's interesting, we had that conversation in a restaurant where they had some of the best soup I think I've ever had. It was this incredible tomato mixed with different spices kind of soup. And since I've been in Ireland, and as we close out this hour, food is one of the things that is very, very big in Ireland. So I'm going to tell you some of the food that I've had, and I've had to really walk some of this stuff off. They have scones that are the size of, you know, two of your fists, and they're made with buttermilk, and they're incredible. I just stay away from them. I had one, and I realized this would be like eating a bag of potato chips for me. And speaking of potato chips, they have something called crisps, and one of the companies is Hunky Dory. That really is the name of the potato chip company, and a big seller, and they're excellent tasting. They taste a little, not quite as greasy, I guess, as some potato chips are in the U.S. The other meals that I've had, lamb is big. Everywhere you go, you see sheep, especially in the countryside, and where I am in the Atlantic, you know, Wild Way, and there's obviously great seafood. So I've had salmon. I've had lamb. I've had the filet and soup. I had an incredible potato leek soup for my dinner at the house in Renville, the Renville House and Resort, and it's probably the best I've had. I like soups. You know how you like a certain thing, and in Texas and in the Southwest, I'm always searching for new tortilla soup, and I've tried, I don't know how many, dozens and dozens of them, and I'm kind of that way about potato soup in Ireland. And this is only my second time being here, but tasting different soup and whatnot. And of course, you're so bloody cold, so with the wind and with the off, on and off again rain, there's a lot of great teas to drink, and you see in the pubs even that a lot of men and women are drinking tea depending on the kind of moment it is in the day. It's like layering. In one sense, it's kind of like San Francisco. If you go to San Francisco or you go to the Northwest, you know how you really feel like in a day you can feel several different seasons at times, and I think that's really what it's really, really what Ireland is about. But Ireland is also about taking those trips, going down those roads, looking at the Cliffs of Moher, being on the Atlantic Wild Way. We went to a town today on our way that's famous for matchmaking, and they truly matchmake young women and young men in the town, and it's so popular that there's a giant festival here, speaking of festivals, and twice a year you have people come and are part of this matchmaking festival, wild weekend of meeting people, etc., and the town is overrun. In fact, there was even a movie, and I can't think of the name of it. I'm sure one of you smart cats out there will think of it, but Mimi Driver was in it. There was a movie about matchmaking in Ireland, and that is that place where we were, and it was pretty cool to see the town. And there were some signs about the whole matchmaking deal, and apparently the biggest age in one sense of people coming from all over the world for the twice a year for the big festivals are people that are 60, so 40, 50, and 60. And I thought that was pretty interesting. It kind of makes sense. Widow, widower, never been married, you know, whatever the circumstances are. But it would be fun to come back and see that. And if any of you think of that movie, email it to me at katedelaneyradio.com, because that's going to drive me absolutely crazy. And I certainly hope you enjoyed the story about Mitchell Henry, who was a doctor, an industry tycoon, a politician, and he helped the Irish people because, you know, the famine just totally raked over the country, and there weren't jobs to be had. And in Connemara, there's no doubt that he gave jobs to a lot of people because of the grounds and what he was able to offer over at his estate. And that was a very, very big deal, obviously, to the Irish in Connemara and Galway who needed jobs. If you think of the times, the Victorian times, and what that was like. So I can't wait to bring more adventures to you and more interesting characters and storytelling. I know I'm supposed to go to a sheep farm and my next adventure, and there's some other cliffs and whatnot that I'm going to be exploring, and I'll bring that all to you. And a big reminder that you can always reach me at katedelaneyradio.com. I just mentioned that. Make it count, everybody.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on.
The Tehiba tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tehiba tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tehiba tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.